BadQuaker.com audio article for Thursday, August 11th, 2011, by Ben Stone. Fiat money is not out of thin air. Updated version of the article. I think it's important to use our language in a way that best expresses what we intend to say within the restrictions of truth. Penn Jillette, noted libertarian and juggler, has expressed publicly that he refuses to say marine mammals and instead insists on calling dolphins and whales fish. Jack Spierko, noted libertarian and rifleman, has said on numerous occasions that he doesn't make a big deal out of the difference between an ammo clip and an ammo magazine. These simple terminology variations don't matter in most situations. Both men are correct. That is, of course, unless you're a marine biologist speaking about the difference between whales, dolphins, and sharks, or if you're firing an M1 beside your buddy who's firing an M16 while asking you for ammo. Not likely scenarios, but you can see how these things take on a different level of importance according to the situation. Such is the case we face when discussing two key phrases, fiat and ex nihilo. Why would we care about these differences? Stick with me and maybe I can answer that question. Fiat roughly means something like so it is, or perhaps as it is. Either way, it's clumsy to say in English, thus we say it in Latin. What it actually means is to accept at face value in faith. It's very similar to when we say amen. It's a step in faith saying, I believe this to be so and will act accordingly. Ex nihilo, on the other hand, actually means out of nothing, or from nothing, or even from thin air. Most of the time, a distinction between these two expressions won't matter. That is, of course, unless you happen to be a theologian debating the creation of the universe, or an economist talking about the value of money. Then the difference becomes critical to the discussion. Fiat money is money backed by faith. But money has no set value. It only has the value we believe that it has in a particular situation. Let me give an example. Assume Bill Gates is standing in front of a coffee shop with a $5 bill in his hand. That $5 bill has a dramatically different value to Bill Gates than to the disabled man who's walking by and on a fixed income. And it has an even different value to the person inside the coffee shop who will accept it for coffee. To Bill, a cup of coffee is worth more than his 5 spot. But the man on the fixed income wouldn't think of paying $5 for a cup of coffee. However, the shop attendant will gladly give up a cup of coffee for the money. So now we have established the difference between the dollar amount printed on the paper and the actual value of the paper to the beholder. Now let's take the next step. What if it's not Bill Gates? What if it's Ben Stone and the bill he is holding is counterfeit? Not just any counterfeit, but a perfect counterfeit. Notice I said what if. What if Ben has a counterfeiting process that can produce any denomination of bill perfectly and at almost no cost? For the purpose of this demonstration, Ben cannot be caught and cannot be stopped. Let's say Ben produces a batch of money and comes into town. He spends $500 at a restaurant, then buys 2 new cars from the local dealership. On the way home from his shopping spree, he stops for coffee where he covers everyone's bill in the coffee shop and leaves a $100 tip for the shop owner. The effect of this act of counterfeiting is a sudden increase of wealth injected into a very narrow segment of the community, and a sudden devaluing of the money held by the rest of the community. We've already established that the value of the money is based on the perception of the beholder. Money is now easier to obtain and therefore less valuable to the restaurant owner, but just as hard to get for his other patrons and his cook. Money is now easier to obtain and therefore less valuable to the car dealership owner, but just as hard to get for the other car buyers and the auto mechanics. Back at the coffee shop, the owner may decide that now that he has this new big shot customer, maybe it's time for a price increase. After all, what's another dollar going to mean to a rich guy like Ben? He'll still buy the coffee. Ben is not producing money ex nihilo. Ben is producing money fiat. He is producing money with a perceived value based on what the people of the community believe. And as he does so, the value of the money in the community decreases. Prices go up, and wages are slow to respond if they change at all. Those on fixed incomes and those on hourly wages feel the squeeze of higher prices right away as their dollars are worth less and less each time Ben spends money. Again, Ben has not created money out of nothing. The value of the money is placed upon it by the perceptions of the community. Ben stole the value of the money from the low-end users of money in the community and redistributed it to Ben and the first users who received it. He did not create any wealth. Now let's change one aspect of this scenario. Let's say Ben's last name is not Stone. Let's say Ben's last name is Bernanke. When Ben Bernanke produces money, it is not out of thin air. Ben Bernanke produces fiat money through credit expansion, and when he does so, he does it at the expense of you. It is your wealth and the value of your dollar that is shifted upward to the top-end users. The bankers and the Treasury Department get the new money first, but the value of the money comes out of your pocket. Prices go up, and the poorest people in society pay the most for the credit expansion. Ben Bernanke doesn't produce wealth ex nihilo. Ben Bernanke produces money fiat. Ben steals the value of the money from the low-end users while enriching the high-end users. He does not create wealth. This is what Ron Paul calls an invisible tax, and it strikes those on fixed income and hourly wages the hardest since they are the low-end users. So now this begs a question. How is wealth created? Well, one example is when you take a seed, put it in the ground, and grow a tomato. You have invested one seed, mixed your labor with the energy of the sun, elements in the soil, and air, added time, and you produced wealth ex nihilo. Theologians, please sit down and stop screaming at me. I am not attacking your religion. I realize you don't use the phrase that way, but it is an accurate use of the phrase nonetheless. When you take a resource, invest time and labor, and produce something of more value than the sum of its parts, you produced wealth ex nihilo. Here's the math. One pack of tomato seeds cost $1 and contains 50 seeds. Therefore, each seed is worth 2 cents. So, one seed worth $0.02. Sunshine, $0. Rain, $0. Air, $0. Dirt, $0. Time, $0. Yes, side note, time is money, but not to a tomato plant. Your labor, $0. Side note, I'm not saying your labor is worthless. I'm saying it costs you $0. Tomato price per pound at the store, $1. One plant can produce 8 pounds of tomatoes. So here's the equation. 0.02 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 equals $8. Therefore, by growing one tomato plant, you create $7.98 of wealth ex nihilo. That's downright inspirational, isn't it? For more articles and podcasts on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening.